Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast. All things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric, with me is my co-host Ray. And of course we have Jim with us this evening.
Hey guys, how's it going?
We are well, thank you. And quite a bit going on this week. We've got our first splash of previews for Adeptus Mechanicus with the new Codex. We have three GTs this weekend. We've got a nifty preview for animation this Saturday, and at actually a reasonable time, so not to get up at the crack of dawn to look at that. So all kinds of neat stuff going on. So first off, let's take a look at the AdMech preview. Basically kind of showed off the new Forge World abilities, not the Forge World, the companies, but their version of chapters that they have. I had to kind of go back and forth between the old Codex and what they had previewed to kind of get an idea of what had changed. But any of these jump out at you as new and different?
Well, none of these, I don't remember for 8th edition, so it's kind of hard to go back, actually. But I did notice that some of these kind of seemed as like little tweaks of Space Marine versions.
Yeah, there were a couple things that kind of looked familiar, but then you kind of have to remember the different units and how everything stacked up. Like, one thing right off the bat kind of hit me was on Masters of the Forge for Mars. Says it allows you to Skitar units with this dogma gain the Canticles of the Omnissiah ability. So it's like, oh, that very much implies that no one else has that ability. That's a pretty big change right off the bat. And there are a few other ones I thought were interesting. Wrath of Mars obviously is a big change. That's one of their main stratagems, so that'd be interesting to see. None of the relics really wowed me, but for some reason, of all armies, of all factions, Adeptus Mechanicus never had really relics that wowed me anyway. So,
yeah. So in 8th, so for instance, in 8th, Mars got double Canticles. You had to randomly determine them. So now they lose that, and obviously potentially losing.
And correct me if I'm wrong. It's well. I thought it was this Mechanicus call. Good error. Call had the ability to get like +1/-1. The player's choice to the Canticles as well.
Yeah, and we haven't seen the chart yet, so I'm not sure if it's going to be.
Oh yeah, it's true.
It could be similar to the Necron thing, where it kind of moves through them.
Right.
Could be because that was something that they did with them. Could be again another table where you get to roll. As far as some of the other ones, like for instance, like Lucius, it used to be just basically ignored AP1 or it treated AP1 as AP0, but now, what did they change? Sorry. So it's kind of like the Thousand Suns rule.
Seems like there's a couple of guys I saw online saying, well, there's such an uptick in damage 2 and higher. It's like there's still a lot of damage 1 weaponry out there. So
Yeah, Stygies is interesting just because in the old version, it was basically just -1 hit over 12 inches. And now it's you get dense cover, which is still -1 hit, but obviously units that ignore cover would ignore that. And also, I guess it works on vehicles.
And I believe they have to be core as well, correct?
Away, so.
Really?
No, it actually doesn't work on core units.
What?
Each time a range attack targets a vehicle unit, excluding units with a core vehicle, core keyword. So core vehicle units do not benefit from the dogma.
You're right. I misread that. Interesting.
And then, I guess, it's not quite clear if the second one, so excluding vehicle units without the core keyword, excluding vehicle units without the core keyword. So that would be vehicles with the core keyword. Okay, so against let me get this straight. So against non-core vehicles, it works at 18 inches, but against core vehicles, it seems to work at 12 inches, if that's correct.
They need to be further away to get the full benefit. Yeah.
It's a double negative, so it's confusing. It should have just said excluding, then it also says without.
Well, the first one says when it attacks a vehicle unit. The second one just says when it each time it
attacks a unit. Attacks so a unit. That would include vehicles.
Right, but I'm saying
so that would include vehicles with the core unit.
The first one is just because it says
so that would right. But I'm just saying the second one includes vehicles with the core keyword.
I remember Stygies also the one that had the used to be the Alpha Legion, so they still have their way of sneaking up their Electro Priest within 9 inches. That hasn't changed. So I'm like, ugh, that was not my favorite.
Right. Yeah. Right. So overall, I like them. Some of the relics seem pretty good. I mean, we'll see what else they have, but
I could have scored with Ryza. It was plus one to wound, plus one to damage. I think now it's just plus one damage.
So Ryza used to be a reroll wound roll okay. to one in the fight phase, but now they get plus one attack.
I also got the plasma specialist. Because I remember that was like the whole thing was, okay, oh, if I take a big enough breacher squad, I could, you know, with plasma guns, I could level a knight. So as soon as they don't roll a lot of ones.
Like, yeah, it was plus one wound and plus one
that's what I thought. Okay.
damage.
And interesting enough, they threw in a custom forge world, and interesting that they're also still keeping with the you have to take a primary, and then from the primary you get to choose secondary. So they're still sticking with that format.
Seems, that secondary seems really strong, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Like that, I'd take that as a primary for like a whole army.
I thought I read it backwards, and I was like, am I reading this right? So, for those who haven't seen it yet, the primary they showed off was Magna Bonded Alloys, which sounds pretty cool. Each time a vehicle model with this dogma loses a wound on a 6, this wound is not lost. So, feel no pain on vehicles. Meh, okay, could come in handy. But then they have the secondary. At the start of your command phase, each vehicle in your army with this dogma regains one lost wound, and models with this dogma whose characteristics can change as they suffer damage are considered to have double the number of wounds remaining for purposes of determining which of those characteristics are. So I'm like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, seems fairly strong, especially depending on what models actually get the vehicle keyword, because there are quite a few. Do you know if the breachers have vehicle keyword? Or did they?
I believe they are infantry.
I thought they're maybe
right off the bat. I'm thinking a little. Right off the bat, I'm thinking, yeah. Okay. But I'm thinking like Doom Crawlers and those the big chicken walkers. I can never pronounce the real name. Polisari something, or they're really tall with the Cognis las cannons.
Polisari and the Dragoons. I'm really curious. We haven't seen it yet, but I am really curious if we're going to see knights in there, because the Advent Codex currently has both Knights Errant and Knights Paladin, and the Knight Warden in there, where it has all four knights. Like configurations of the smaller chassis. So it'll be really interesting if you get those inside that book as well.
I'd be really curious to see if they still do that, because that was one of the few, especially when you talk about the game design of kind of restricting, you're not seeing a lot of soup. Are they going to keep the knights in there as part of the codex? Are they just going to say, no, you have to soup them in using Imperial Knights? Or are they... Because they really weren't Imperial Knights. They were kind of add-back Knights. They have their own kind of rules.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll maybe give us a bit of a preview as to what the Knight rules could look like how they've changed, maybe.
Yeah, I kind of hope they change the Ion Shield to function more like Void Shields. I think that will really help.
My feeling is that since this Codex came out with, like, when the Codex originally came out, there wasn't that much add-mech stuff. So they were like, how do we, you know, fatten the book up? So they threw in the knights. But now, since then, they've had so many new units released that I don't think they actually need the knights in there. And that I'm assuming that'll be saved for the actual knights.
Yeah, we'll see. But definitely felt like, we'll Control-C, Control-V when they wrote this originally. But yeah, we've seen some of the stat lines leaked we talked about in previous episodes. So I think my favorite is that those crazy writers are down the two wounds. That helps a lot.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see kind of where the nerfs fall and where the buffs fall, but So the shooting can definitely be oppressing, and I know we've seen some I think I saw a data sheet preview from the box for the new tank, and the gun's gone down to strength 5. So the out of line of sight gun.
Interesting.
From strength 6 to strength 5.
Scorpius Disintegrator.
I can't remember the name of the tank. Scorpius Doomcrawler. Yeah, Disintegrator. So that gun has gone. The 3D3 out of line of sight gun, which is like the best part of it, has gone from strength 6 to strength 5. So we'll see how that pans out in the actual book.
Right. So and then the other big release this week, and boy, Jim, you called it. Dark Angels, beware! The Fallen have rules. We have seen those rules.
Have we seen those rules?
White Dwarf.
I didn't get any rules. Is that in the White Dwarf? Oh, wow. I don't think I've seen these yet. So this
well,
is a breaking
Jim mystery. Is usually the king of rants on this show, so I'm gonna have to.
So you don't wanna.
They're just terrible, Ray. You gotta help me here. I don't know if I can muster the strength to read them again. I literally, when Ray sent them to me, it goes, "Hey, where's the other page?" And he's like, "What?"
There is no. All right, I'll start with this. Let's start off with the fact it's a specialist detachment.
Ah.
I think that pretty much says everything you need
which
to
you
know.
Which you can't use, right?
Yep. Strike one. But even if you could, keep going.
Oh, that's perfect.
Okay. A Fallen Angel Specialist Attachment is a Vanguard attachment that contains only Fallen units, Sorcerer units, and Chaos Rhino units.
What? Okay.
Oh, wait. It gets better.
So, Sorcerer units in a Fallen Angel Specialist Attachment have their Mark of Chaos, Heretic Astartes, and Legion faction keywords replaced with the Imperium and Fallen faction keywords. They have their Death to the False Emperor ability replaced with the Fallen Angels ability. See the Fallen datasheet in Codex Chaos Space Marines. Chaos Rhino units in a Fallen Angels Specialist attachment have their Mark of Chaos, Heretic Astartes, and Legion faction keywords replaced with the words. Have their transport section replaced with the following. This model has a transport capacity of 10 Fallen Infantry models. It cannot transport jump pack models. Units in a Fallen Angel Specialist attachment gain the Fallen Angels keyword.
Yeah. Okay, so basically, keyword? What's you're left with Imperium and Chaos, which means you get no access to any stratagems in the Chaos Space Marine Codex, the Dark Angels Codex, or anything other Space Marine Codex. All you get are the core rulebook ones and the two that show up in this publication, for lack of a better term.
Well,
I'm really confused. Why did
they
increase this?
I'm going to start
But with that's the... just in the detachment, though, because a specialist detachment is real. Technically, you take a Fallen detachment and not a Fallen army. It's not, for instance, a Army of Renown where everything has to be that. You could potentially take like a patrol of Fallen, if I'm reading this right, in a normal Chaos Space Marine army.
Yeah. So if Cypher is included in the Fallen Angel Specialist Attachment, he gains the Fallen Agent of Discord aura. While an enemy unit is within Discord range of this model, that unit and any models it contains cannot make use of any abilities, warlord traits, or relics that allow your opponent to receive or be refunded command points. And the range basically goes from 12 to 18 to 24, depending on if you have 10, less than 10, 10 to 19, or 21 angels models within 12 inches.
Wait, isn't that just the 8th edition rules? Did they even change anything? Because I'm looking at the old 8th edition White Dwarf article. Sorry, the old White Dwarf Fallen Angels Specialist Attachment from Vigilist.
Correct.
And that seems to be the exact same as this one. So they just reprinted the Vigilist Specialist Attachment, is that what you're telling me?
But if you take this Specialist Attachment, it will cost you 4 CP, 3 for the Vanguard, and 1 for the Specialist. And then because it's an Outrider, so it's not Outrider, Vanguard, you cannot be refunded, because even if that's your warlord, because the only so if you want to take this, you're already down 4 command points. But that's okay; you weren't going to spend it on stratagems anyway. I'm like, oh, this is terrible.
Wow, guys! But like, and you can't even use special edition these special attachments in match play, anyways. So this is completely pointless.
Exactly. So, Dark Angels, beware, the fallen have risen.
And there's still one wound.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't want to say I told you, but I told you.
Yeah, you did. Not only you told me, but it's worse than what you told me. It is so bad. Worse. Yeah. So angry with this. I was just like, oh, you've got to be kidding. Anyway, so there you go. Fallen are back, for those of you who are desperate enough to play it. Meanwhile, so.
Whose idea it is to do that and think that it's like not like that, that's fine.
I would say I think they probably played it safe. I think they recognized that, we've got to come out with an issue and we need to come out with some sort of filler, and they don't want to come out with some crazy broken rule. So we just cut and paste the rules that we had before, and maybe it won't cause too many ripples.
Yeah, the thing that I didn't understand is like, uh-huh. Even some of like the Silver Skulls and some of these like homebrew chapters that like that were in the books, like what were the Emperor's Spears, I think, got like a whole, like they got more effort and rules put in.
Yeah, The Exorcist.
Well, The Exorcist, yeah. Those got more rules put in than the Fallen, so it's just really
yeah. weird. I mean, I looked at, like, if they're as good as The Exorcist, I would have been happy. Because at least there they get all the Space Marine stratagems and all the Space Marine units. Now you're just running around with a bunch of guys with plasma guns and a random sorcerer and a rhino. Or even an upgrade to Cypher's data sheet at this point. So I'm just like, oh my god, nothing. So nothing. So yeah, my Fallen army remains on the shelf at this point.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
Anyway, last bit of news. There is a set your alarm clock, but you don't have to get up the crack of dawn this Saturday. Apparently, they're going to be doing an animation preview this Saturday, and for us in the States, it's going to be 10 o'clock West Coast time, about 1 o'clock on the East Coast, if I do my math right. Pretty exciting. Finally, we might get some real news on release dates.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, well, I'm just happy that it's at 10 a.m. and not 6 a.m. because they're normally super early.
Right.
But I guess my biggest thing is I'm more interested right now, to be honest, in their distribution than I am in the shows themselves. Because I really feel like GW has an opportunity here to like really blow up 40K as an IP. Not necessarily 40K the game. Because I think like there's obviously a large barrier to entry and it's not for everyone. But as an IP, as far as like video games and like other kinds of content, I think they really have an opportunity to kind of take it into the stratosphere, especially with like Amazon and the Inquisitor series. I actually saw a interview with Dan Abnett recently where he was talking about, he was very vague, but he basically said he is doing a little bit of the work on the Inquisitor series. And obviously that's going to be super hype. Like they've already started, I think, casting for it or filming it. Do I keep saying Inquisitor series? I mean the Eisenhorn series.
Okay, for I know what you meant.
Yeah, sorry, the Eisenhorn series. They're making an Eisenhorn series. And he actually even I'm just concerned that if Games Workshop like puts us behind their like you gotta go to gamesworkshop.com, log into Warhammer community, log in your Warhammer account, and then you gotta click the link, and that's what gets you that's where you can go look at the animation. I think that's just a huge colossal mistake. So I do hope they like put everything up on YouTube or like on Amazon Prime or on Netflix. Like I hope they sell these series to Netflix if they're good enough. I think that's such a smart choice. I really hope they don't come out with their own streaming service, which is I heard rumors of. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. I thought the real reason why they were delaying is not because the content wasn't done, is there was the distribution. And I was really hoping for, like I said, Amazon Prime, Netflix would have been great. Anything but HBO Max, because I just don't want to pay for it, but it's still a viable platform. My concern is after, you know, what we've been hearing between the, developing the Battleforge app in-house and developing the inventory management software in-house, this sounds like they are developing their own streaming channel in-house. I'm like, oh, please don't. So, log into the app, log into this, and then pay $10 to download the video? I'm like, no, please no. So, but it's a huge opportunity. I mean, we've talked about in previous shows that just the trailer for the 9th edition rule set, that should have been everywhere. So
yeah, I mean, we'll see. They're never, Games Workshop is good at making models, and they're slightly good at making games, so I hope they stick to that. And the other thing, too, is like, I don't know, Games Workshop, I feel like as an IP, they're kind of torn. They don't know what they want to be as far as like their age appropriateness, I guess is the best way to put it. Because when I read when I read old Games Workshop, so like Storm of Iron, and there are scenes where there's literally Chaos Space Marines birthing mutants inside the wombs of like captured slaves, and then knitting on skin of other slaves that they've like flayed off them onto them. And I read that and I'm like, that's just like so disturbed, so messed up, and it's so awesome. And then I read some of the newer stories, and especially the 40K ones are a little bit more toned down. You can definitely tell they've like toned down a little bit of the gore and like vulture porn, I guess, where there's just like literally like bodies and everything like that. And then obviously, you know, they have some of the newer kid friendly stuff, which is totally fine. I don't mind that. But then I really think about the TV series and I'm like, what do I want a 40K show to be? Well, I want it to be grimdark. I want it to be depressing and oppressive and like just dark and like gothic and just like demented, right? I want chaos to feel like chaos, like the way they describe it in some of the background, where it's just this like horror that like, you know, scares people. And I'm really worried that in order to make this like these shows like, I guess, mass appeal or family friendly, we're going to lose a lot of that.
We'll see. That's visually so far it looks pretty good, and we'll see. Yeah, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah, like so. I just actually finished Alpharius. It's one of the Primarch books from Mike Brooks. It was amazing. But in the book there is a race called the Sloth, and they don't really. They're like basically like best way to describe them would be like galactic like vultures. Like they're basically like a nomadic race that goes around to planets and like feasts like after all the wars are fought in like
right.
They don't really ever talk about what happens to all the dead bodies in these battles, but basically they're like vultures. It implies that they're Nurgle-ish, like they have very Nurgle like technology and stuff like that, and they're all pustules and stuff. But basically they go around after all these battles in the 40K millennium, 40th first millennium, and they find these planets where battles have been fought, and they basically just like reap the dead bodies and just like and like eat them and like cover themselves with their Ooh. The bodies and the blood and the guts and stuff. It's very like gruesome, and it's just like I was like that's awesome. We should have that in 40K, right? Because obviously it's a 30K novel. But I'm just like, they would never do anything like that in like the movies, right? But it just reminds you of how like
it's funny how there's all these other species and races and stuff like that. Not all of them you want to see on the tabletop to play with, but it's just really cool to add them in, you know. And that's one of the things I'm looking forward to in the animation, is kind of seeing some of them come to life a little bit. But yeah.
I would definitely recommend reading Alpharius. It's by Mike Brooks. It's pretty short. I keep saying reading, guys. Just let's be clear. I've been listening to audiobooks. I haven't read a 40K book in like 10 years. I only listen to audiobooks exclusively because I can paint while I do so. But it's very good. I won't give away any spoilers, but it does reveal quite a bit of stuff pre Great Crusade. So you get another perspective of what's going on Terra before like the Primarchs are kind of up and running. It does give quite a bit of a look kind of into like some of the gene craft and kind of the stuff that happens with like Malkador and like what's his name, Constantine Baldor and the Emperor. Like it gives you a little bit more of that like background stuff. So if you're interested in like that period of time in the universe, I definitely would recommend picking it up, because there's some really cool reveals in there.
Cool.
Yeah,
all right, definitely have to take a look at that. All right, before we get to our tournament coverage, got two announcements here from the Exterminatus podcast, one of which you may have seen already on our Facebook page, but the Exterminatus podcast is proud to once again partner up with the Arizona Game Fair and bring you the Scorched Earth Open. That's right, mark your calendars, March 12th and 13th of 2022, so this coming March. We are back after 2 years off, thanks to the pandemic. We'll be back once again in Mesa at the Arizona Game Fair, and look for that to be tickets going on sale, I believe, this coming weekend. So we're looking forward to that. Likewise, it'll be the Arizona's premier 40K event has always been one of the biggest ones, and actually did a little research. We actually were the largest one in Arizona history. So looking to add to that, and looking very forward to seeing all of you there. But I know what you're thinking. I need a fix. I can't wait till March. I need a GT locally. So we decided to indulge. So this is breaking news right here. The Exterminatus podcast would like to invite all of you to November 6th and 7th to the Ocotillo Onslaught. We'll be holding that back at one of our favorite venues, the Glendale Civic Center in Glendale, Arizona. This also will be a GT-level event, two-day event, but what's going to be interesting as well is we are teaming up with some of the local community, so it'll both be a 40K event as well as an Age of Sigmar event. So we're very excited with that. By time November rolls around, we should be well entrenched in the 3.0 rule set. But we'll have more details for all both 40K and Age of Sigmar as we get closer to the event. So tickets for that event will probably go on sale this Saturday as well. So Ocotillo Onslaught, November 6th and 7th, and Scorched Earth Open, March 12th and 13th. So very excited. So, and maybe by then, Jim, you'll be able to cross the border.
Super cool. Well, I'm aiming to make it out there. I have a ticket to the Las Vegas team tournament. So that's, I believe, in September, maybe. So that's kind of my hope for my first event this year.
Very cool. All right. So there were actually three GT level events this past weekend. We'll take a quick look at those. We'll start off on the East Coast in Westminster, Maryland, the Maryland Open ITC Grand Tournament. Very original name. Quick look at your top five. Starting in fifth place, Mark Hertel with Cult Mechanicus came in fifth. John Tolman with Death Guard in fourth. Daniel Kennedy with Cult Mechanicus in third. Kurt Phillips with Jukari in second. And Patrick McElhaney with White Scars takes the top spot, going 5-0. Actually, there were three of them who went 5-0 in the top three, but he had managed the most battle points to break the tie.
Yeah,
well, crazy stuff. So I've not had a chance to peruse 40K Stat Center and see if the Drukhari numbers have tumbled down to some sort of normalcy.
They were, but, I believe I looked earlier today, they were about 63% this weekend, but that wasn't including a GT in Australia where the top five, I think three were Drukhari. So
yep, as I look at this, for example, the top 10, we talked about seventh, Nick DeVoe with Drukhari. Eighth place, Jonas Beardsley with Jukari. So I'm like, okay, still need some. 11th, 12th place, Zachariah Herman with Jukari. So yeah, there's still some. A little bit Anthony Birdsong playing. Anthony Birdsong's playing Jukari? Really, Anthony? Gave up on Chaos?
Anthony, I know Anthony well. He probably plays just whatever's the best.
Second major tournament from this past weekend, the Albany, Georgia's we're going to. That threw me off. I was expecting to see Albany, New York. The cool place, Spring GT. Somehow when I think of anything in Georgia, cool is not what comes to mind. I think of hot and humid. But anyway, your top five looks something like this. In fifth place with Necron, Seth Piper. Matthew Casey comes in fourth with Jukari. Third place, Daniel Hesters with Jukari. Second place, Stephen Mitchell with Chaos. And your top spot, John Lennon with Ultramarines. Wasn't he just playing Jukari like 2 weeks ago? So sudden change there. Let's take a look at that. What is in his Ultramarines list? Curious what he's running these days.
A lot of Dreadnoughts.
As I was afraid of. Battalion, he's starting with, it's actually a Succession chapter with Master Artisans. In Whirlwind of Rage. It's got a Chapter Master with a heavy crafted heavy bolter, Primaris Librarian, and a Primaris Tech Marine. In the troop slot, he's got one unit of five Incursors and two units of five Intercessors. In the elite slot, he's got two Invictor War Suits and two Redemptor Dreadnoughts, and then two Relic Contemptor Dreadnoughts. In the fast attack slot, he's got a Suppressor Squad, two of those. All with accelerator cannons and two land speeder storms.
Yeah.
So there you go. Six dreadnoughts. And of course, those relic contemptor dreads are with the dreaded twin Volkite culverns. Those are nasty. Curious what Stephen Mitchell's got for chaos. Let's see what he's looking at there. Starts up with Patrol of Thousand Suns, Cult of Magic, Aramon and Sorcerer and Terminator armor, a unit of five Rubik Marines, a Chaos Spawn, singular. Followed by a Battalion of Nurgle Demons featuring Epidemius, Great Unclean One, Horticus Slimix, 1, 2, 3 units of 3 Nurglings, and then, oh, here we go, 3 units of 8 Beasts of Nurgles, and then followed up by a unit of 5 Furies.
I love that list. I would hate to have that many Beasts of Nurgles when they're like $60 a pop, though.
Yeah, I wonder what he's using for those, but correct me if I'm wrong, do Beasts of Nurgles still have that nasty... I can't think of the word. Where the character, they can heroically intervene. Really yeah, there we go.
They still have a 5+5+5+ disgusting resilient and a 5+ demon save. So between that and their toughness and their number of wounds, they're surprisingly tanky.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Is I can never, I can barely kill three of them. I can't imagine killing 24 of those. That'd be,
Yeah, and Horticulus obviously can drop a seed to plant a tree, so he can drop a Nurgle tree, which lets them advance and charge and fall back and charge, I believe.
And I think they also get like a feel no pain or something. Get some of their resiliency nonsense. Well, I don't like the tree, especially because. The tree is, because the tree is just terrain, so you can't kill the tree. So
that's the best part. Yeah, and it gives them a plus to their cover save, I think.
So yeah, I can't remember. It definitely improves the resiliency. I just remember a friend of mine, he just dropped like six obliterators next to the tree, and I was like,
Yeah, it gives them a Nurgle demons plus two to their cover save. So when their obliterators next to the tree have a zero plus save,
that's what it was. I was mad because I had killed pretty much everything else in his army, including his 60 pox walkers, and all of a sudden he drops that on me. I'm like, okay, now what do I do?
Hey listeners, this is Raymond with the Extreme Anonymous Podcast here to talk to you about KR cases. If you're like me and you're constantly looking for that better way to store your armies, then look no further than KR cases. That's right, this is the foam company known for their soft blue foam in the cardboard cases. They're great way to mix and match whenever you're heading out for that next tournament. You can just swap out those boxes and no need to worry about switching the foam in and out. They're sturdy. The boxes help protect your models. And when you order, they come fast, the order is right, and for a better price than the other guy. So go to krcases.com. And when you place your order, be sure to mention the Exterminatus podcast.
All right, we move on to the Battle of Los Angeles at Gameology, which is ironically not in Los Angeles. It's in Pasadena. But it has nothing to do with the Rage Against the Machine album. But nonetheless, here's your top five. Jason McKenzie, remember that name. There'll be a quiz later with Cult Mechanicus coming in fifth place. Eddie Gosshorn with Jakari coming in fourth. William Saunders with Salamanders coming in third. Joel Wilson with Dark Angels, who has no fear of the fallen, coming in second. And a familiar name, Brandon Grant, with Adeptus Sororitas coming in first place. He's the lone undefeated player from the weekend for that particular event.
Nice job, Brandon.
And it's a quite the gauntlet to get to that top spot. So if we just go outside of the top five for a little bit here. Sixth place, you got Team ZeroComp Captain Junior Flahey with Blood Angels. You got Mike, teammate, and the guy we got to see me play on the stream with, Aaron Weissman. He brought us Dark Angels, came in seventh. Anthony O'Dell came in ninth with Trukari. Jeff Poole with Tau came in 10th place, and he talks about that on his show, Focus Fire. You might want to check that out. Friend of the show, Josh Jenny, came in 14th place with Chaos. Ray Almuda came in 15th place with Harlequins. Don Husen, friend of the show, came in 16th with Death Guard. And Ben Jurek came in 18th place with Orcs. So just a run. And then, yeah, also friend of the show. Sorry, Andrew, we got to bring it up. He is the proud winner of the Wooden Spoon, going a perfect 0-5 on the weekend with Adeptus Custodes.
That sucks.
Yeah, I feel bad. Because Andrew's a really nice guy. And he just seems to, he has quite the collection of Wooden Spoons. So. Want to take a look at Brandon's list here, just for a quick see if there's any major changes here. Starts with Battalion, a Bloody Rose. He's got four Archivist Flagellants, easy for me to say, and two Death Cult Assassins. Boy, those things were like a terror in 5th edition. Oh my gosh. Anyway, he also got Lord Inquisitor Kyra Draxus. Who's that? Is that the
Psychic Awakening?
Tilda Swindon. Okay, that's what I thought. Two Canises, a Palantine. Holy crow. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 Battle Sister squads, all with bolt guns, Smacularum, and you give them the sisters. Yeah, they're all just bolt guns, no heavy weapons. Interesting. Preacher, 1, 2 units of 8 Sister Repentias, 1 unit of 5 Sister Repentias, 2 units of 5 Zephyrums, a Seraphim squad of 5. And then, good grief, 1, 2, 3 units of 5 Retributor squads with multi-meltas. And then, of course, 4 Rhinos to get everybody around.
Yes,
that looks like a Brandon list. And the new Codex is on the horizon. That's kind of crazy. Looking at Josh Wilson's Dark Angel list that came in second, always curiosity to take a look at this. He starts with Ezekiel, then a Blagard veteran squad of... How many are in the squad here? Looks like one to three. He's got a Blagard Ancient, excuse me. And then he's got a massive Deathwing Terminator squad. Give me one sec here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It looks like he's got the full squad. 10. With a wide variety of weaponry. Thunderhammers, Cyclone, 2 Cyclone Missile Launchers, 3 Thunderhammers, 3 Power Fists, 2 Chain Fists. And then pretty much, then he's got a second squad, slightly different weaponry, 3 Thunderhammers, 2 Cyclone Missiles, and all Power Fists. And then cut, and then third Deathwing Terminator squad. So he's got 30 Deathwing Terminators. He has a carbon copy of the first one we talked about. Then he adds a Vanguard detachment of more Dark Angels, featuring Lazarus, a Blakeguard veteran squad, a Ravenwing apothecary, and a Ravenwing champion on bike. This looks like a list that could probably fit in a overhead compartment of an airplane and just kick butt. Yeah, that's just nasty. And easy to paint, too. It's a lot of bone armor. You're good to go. I just have to look, William Saunders, what a Salamander's list looks like. I've heard rumors of this list. Curious what's in it. So William is bringing Captain on bike, followed by a Lieutenant and a Primaris Librarian. Interesting, we're starting to see a lot more of these three HQs filling out the HQ slots. In the troop slots, 2 units of Assault Intercessors and 1 unit of Incursors. 2 aggressor squads of 3, a Blagueguard veteran squad of 5, a Judicar, a Primaris apothecary, and a Redemptor dreadnought. 3 units of 3 eradicator squads. Hey, look what's back. And an impulsor. Okay, kind of a throwback list. That's kind of cool. Wild, crazy stuff. All right, and that is your tournament coverage for this previous weekend. So a lot of good things going on there. Any crazy stuff that popped out here from this weekend?
Just looking at some of the stats from 40kstats.com and some of the other sites, doesn't seem like there was much, a lot of the wins, didn't go through a lot of Drakari. I think only one of the winners ended up playing a Drakari list. So I think we're yet to be seen, but we have seen a slight, I think we've seen more teching against them. So we've seen that maybe slight drop just due to people teching against them a bit more. I know obviously John Lennon was running suppressors fronts quite good against Drakari. So hopefully we'll see that win rate drop a little bit.
Yeah, I still keep feeling there's a FAQ on the way, but
I know for a fact there yet, is a big FAQ coming for the whole game. Oh yeah, there's
Oh really?
There's basically, it was confirmed by Tom Adriani on Facebook actually in the competitive 40K. He's one of the playtests, but he said he had commented that there's a specific issue someone had asked, and he basically said that it was going to be fixed in the next FAQ, the big FAQ coming, and then I asked him when and disappeared. So there's definitely a bigger FAQ coming. Whether or not it's going to be a balance change or if it's going to be more just a deep dive. So, and I have that from multiple sources, Inner Circle, that it's coming. So yeah, I'm hoping, hopefully we get it shortly. Maybe right before the summer FAQ or the summer chapter approved, if we get one. Yeah, I don't really buy that. I mean, there's actually quite a bit of 40K data at this point.
That would be... Right. Yeah, that's a pretty good source right there. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what that comes out. Seems like, I know a lot of people are saying, there hasn't been enough games to make any major changes, but I think you can still make some small changes. So at least, yeah, I think we've got quite a... Right. So here's some more data for you guys at home. Your ITC top 10, it has been updated to include not only the Dallas GT from 2 weeks ago, but also this past weekend's activity. So here we go, your top 10. I'll just warn you, there is a strange misprint, so I'll just kind of wing it when we get to that point. So in 10th place, friend of the show, Colin McDade, with his Harlequins, occupied the 10th spot. 915 points is how tall you need to get on this ride. 9th place, Kyle Perry. 8th place, Nick Natavati. 7th place, Sam Dayton, excuse me. 6th place, Mark Hurdle, who we just spoke about earlier with his AdMech list. Fifth place, I'm not really sure, because Jason McKenzie's listed twice as being in fourth place. So, not sure who's in fifth place, but Jason McKenzie is getting double duty in the top 10. Congratulations. Third place, Mark Esch with 1,046. He's our first player to cross into that four-digit mark. James Keeling, your number one briefly. He was actually number one after we finished recording our last episode. It was announced on Wednesday. They updated the scores. He was number one. He's been knocked down to number two. And your number one player in the land at the moment is Sean Naden with 1,154 points. And I'm just more impressed. Most of these guys have gotten six events in already, so that's pretty impressive. I don't think I have 6 weeks in my league done yet. So, yep, absolutely. How are things? Are they opening up a little bit in your neck of the woods?
Good for them. I'm up to four games, so I'm slightly sad. But things are starting to turn around. So soon. Our vaccinations are doing a lot better, and it seems like we'll have an announcement at the end of this weekend as far as extension of our current restrictions. But they're thinking that we'll have everyone at least get their first shot by June, like mid-June in our area. So with that said, okay. It's Canada, so don't be surprised.
For Ray and I down here, it's kind of weird. You know, they just came out with this announcement this past week saying that if you've gotten the shot, both shots, and it's been 2 weeks since you've gotten both shots, you are free to roam around without a mask. And that just, I don't know. Bless you, see? There's an example of what could happen. who's enforcing? Do you have a card? You know, can you prove that you had gotten both shots? I don't know. So what I can tell you is for our November event, we have set everything up, assuming the COVID restrictions are still going to be in place. So every table has been set up with 6 feet of space. And so that still gives us room for roughly 70 players. So we still got plenty of room to be a major. But that space, if we had it under normal conditions, could probably hold almost double that. So just weird, you know. So things are starting to open up, but you have to kind of cautiously go ahead and go, is it right to do this? So
yeah, I think, I mean, without getting political, I think obviously there'll be a point where
that's kind of where I'm at, is
we need to leave it up to
people. I didn't mean to make it political, and it's not what my intent is exactly. It's just I'm trying to make my decision, and some people are making their decisions, and I'm like, okay, do I go against the popular vote at this point and still wear a mask? So just trying to figure that out. And now it's available for kids 12 and up. And I've got one kid who falls in that category. So now it's like, all right, is it safe for them? Is it not safe for them? So doing all kinds of fun research, all that good stuff. All right. So this week we'll have more updates. Check them out on our Facebook page. I'll get up. Looks like we have Saturday morning cartoons with Games Workshop. Jim, what do you got going on with your shows this week?
I'm having a show tomorrow with Dan Miner, who's a local tournament legend. We're going to be discussing what the true cost of tournaments should be. So that'll be exciting. And then, I'm actually taking a bit of a break this weekend. I'm going to be going camping over the long weekend. So we have, I think it's Labor Day. Is that the one? I don't know. One of them. Memorial Day. Anyways, it's a long weekend coming up. And so I'm going to be off camping this weekend. So it's going to be pretty quiet for me for most of the week. But
sounds good. Ray, I know you got a lot of painting done today.
Yeah, some Scarab Occult Terminators. And that'll probably be the project for the rest of the week, too.
All right. See if we can get them up on our either Facebook or Instagram. So, for some reason, you guys love to look at our pictures of our models. Those seem to be the most highly watched posts. So, we'll keep doing that for you. So, I'll be now that I've got a semi-painted army, at least I can get my 10 points for battle ready. Now we've got a date for two tournaments. I'll be making a truckload of terrain between now and November. So I'll be posting that. So that's all my hobby progress for this week. So with that, that is our show for this week. Again, more updates as they come during the week. Look for those on our Facebook page. In the meantime, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
I'm Jim.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.